For us this morning, I'd like to take the Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We've been going through a series, and today we are concluding the series on the importance of faith. We started last month, and this is the fifth sermon in this installment. First sermon that we've preached about how you can have pleasing faith and the importance of pleasing faith. Pleasing faith brings salvation. Pleasing faith brings serenity or peace. Through we're justified, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Pleasing faith brings satisfaction to God and to you. Pleasing faith brings service. And the issue is that if we please God with our faith, He will declare us to be righteous. The importance of pleasing faith. Then we went on to the importance of perfect faith. God doesn't want just us to end with salvation. He wants us to build with that. Peter talks about, in all diligence, add to your faith virtue and knowledge and all these things. Perfect faith is when we have pardoning faith. Realize that we keep our sin debt short with God. We have been pardoned for salvation. Perfect faith is to have purifying faith. We need to be holy. It'll be such a contrast in this world today. Perfect faith is one that will continue to pray and will penetrate. Their prayers will reach God because we're doing the right thing and we're pleasing God that way. Perfect faith will persevere and we continue to pray until we get the answer. So we need to have pleasing faith. We need to have perfect faith. We need to have personal faith. And we talked about the blind man on the side of the road to Jericho. Heard the people come by and said, "Ah, it's Jesus." And he cried out to Christ. And Christ changed his life and gave him sight, but also saved him. Personal faith is a recognizing faith. We need to understand our shortcomings and give them to God.
Amen.
We need to understand and respond to that. We need to have revealing faith. We need to see God as He is. Hebrews 11:6 says that we must come to God and believe that He is God. The crowd rebuked the blind man for screaming out, but it got God's attention. And it led to the blind man asking Jesus to heal him, which He did. And the man went away rejoicing. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you should be rejoicing today.
Amen.
We should be growing in Him. Last week we talked about prize faith and we used the acrostic faith. One of the prizes of faith is that it brings us forth freedom. We're free from sin. We're free from the condemnation of sin. We're free to love God. We're free to serve Him. It brings us assurance in our heart that we know that we're going to heaven. It brings involvement in worship. It brings involvement in service because we're in it. Faith comes from me. Faith gives us victory and it gives us triumph over our problems. And faith promises us heaven. In keeping with the theme of Mother's Day, here's what faith can do. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul opens this letter to Timothy. And he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, faith without bridles, faith without constraints, faith that is abundant, that is in thee." Timothy had this abundance faith, but he said it came from somewhere. He says, "Which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also." A lot of us would not be here if it wasn't for the faith of our mom and pass that faith along to us. This morning, we're going to close with the importance of practicing faith. Lois had unfeigned faith. Eunice had unfeigned faith. Timothy had unfeigned faith. And we need to have unfeigned faith and we need to practice it. So we're looking at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 24. The importance of practicing faith. Hebrews 10, chapter verses 22 through 24. But before we read God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord. Lord, we thank you for what you've brought us through. We thank you for our moms. And Lord, help us today to look to you. We ask that your Holy Spirit would have full reign here. And that, Father, that we would just respond to it in the truth of your preaching and the truth of your word. Father, help us to leave this place changed, more like you. Father, someone here does not have a relationship with you, did not know if they would go to heaven or not. Father, I pray that today they would get that right. Father, we ask that you just help us to take away all distractions and that we could focus on you today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of what? Faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23 is our key verse. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, when things are important to us, we make them priorities in our life. When we have something as a priority in our life, we will practice that priority. We will do things that show that that is an important thing in our life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Christ is saying you need to lay up treasures in heaven. Your priority should be following me. Your priority should be heaven and putting up for rewards in heaven. And that's where your heart will be. Our text says that we have a true heart and an assured heart. We talked about that last week. We make things important things in our lives, priorities that we practice. Secondly, the most important thing to the Christian is professing faith in Christ. And professed faith should be the most important thing in our lives. You know, there's a lot of people that have faith in God for the wrong reasons. It may be for business reasons. It may be for family reasons. It may be to get out of a problem or a tight spot that you're in. But the issue is Christ can fill the empty part of your soul. And professed faith means I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. I know I was a sinner on my way to hell. And there was no way except through Christ Jesus. Amen. And his salvation. You know, it should be the most important thing. It was to Paul. After Paul was converted on the Damascus Road, it changed him. He went from being a prosecutor or a persecutor of the faith to a preacher of the faith. Amen. And everywhere he went, it was all about Jesus. It was all about salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
Christ saving your soul should be the most important thing in your life. Amen. And if it's not, you need to change that today.
Amen.
Profess faith must be held fast. There's a lot of things in the world today that people say are important, but they don't hold on to them very long. Something else comes back that's more important. And it moves that off of the scale. Christ needs to be the most important thing in our lives. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, prove all things. Prove all things true to God. Prove all things that are good. Prove all things that are righteous. Prove all things that are acceptable to God. Hold fast. Hold on to it and don't let it go. I will admit that I have a remote in my hand when I go home at night. And I'll sit in front of the TV. And sometimes I will go to sleep. Can we relate with you guys? All of a sudden, as I sleep, the remote falls out of my hand. Hits the floor and wakes me up. The issue is, we should not sleep with the profession of Christ. We should not sleep in our faith. We should not open our hands and let it go. We ought to hang on to it.
Amen.
Make it an important thing. Make it a priority in your life. And make it a practice. We practice faith through use. We practice faith through use. So this morning I want to share four things real quick about how to practice faith. The first thing is we need to recognize the value of faith. We need to value salvation. Peter says it's the most precious thing we have. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." If you didn't have faith, you wouldn't have grace. If you didn't have faith, you wouldn't have the gift. If you didn't have faith, you wouldn't have God. We need to value our salvation. Secondly, as we preach on before, we need to value the satisfaction only faith can bring. Faith is valuable because it satisfies the Savior. Faith is valuable because it satisfies the sinner. Christ is all I need. He satisfies me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the first part of that said, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." You know, there's a lot of people that we want to please, but the most important one we need to please is God.
Amen.
We need to recognize the value of faith and value salvation. We need to value satisfaction. We need to value the strength that faith can give. And in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." See, the issue is that when we have faith in God, He's going to do three things. He will strengthen you. He will provide you with healing strength. He will provide you with healing strength. He will provide you with hoping strength. He will provide you with heart strength. And not only does He provide you with strength, He will help you. He will help you. And He will uphold you with the right hand of His righteousness. Folks, we need a lot of lifting up in the world today.
Amen.
Everybody wants to tear down. But I praise God that He's the one who lifts up and doesn't tear down.
Amen.
Do you value faith? Do you value the strength from faith? Do you value the safety of faith? Now in Proverbs, it says that some men count on trust in horses, but their safety in the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Above all, taking the what? Shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." It is faith that will be saved. It was faith that will give you victory. It's faith that will help you to stay safe. But you know the issue is, you have to take up the shield of faith. You have to put it in the right direction to exercise it. It provides safety. So we need to recognize the safety that we're safe from the wicked one. We're safe from the world. He's a fortress. A mighty fortress is my God. He's my shelter. He's my strength. He's my deliverer. He's all those things. So value your faith, value salvation, value satisfaction, value strength, and value safety. Secondly, we need to recognize the vision of faith. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 30, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Where you have no faith, you perish. You perish. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the first part, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." So how do we keep looking to Jesus and keep Him focused in our vision? We need to bow down to keep the vision of our faith. We need to bow down and keep praying. We need to bow down and keep praising. In Psalm 95, verse 6, it says, "Oh, come and let us worship and what? Bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our neighbor. We need to get that vision. Isaiah saw Christ high and lifted up. We need to see Christ high and lifted up. We need to look to Him. He is the one that wrote faith. He wrote the book of faith. He's the one that will complete salvation by redeeming us and giving us heaven. So we need to recognize the vision of faith and bow down to keep it. That vision. We need to believe to keep the vision of our faith. You know, there's a lot of discouragement and disappointment in the world today. But you need to believe despite that discouragement. We need to believe despite the disappointments. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 says, "For the which cause?" What cause? The cause of faith. The cause of salvation. "I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Another way of translating that word shame is confounded. God's never going to let us down.
Amen.
"For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day."
Amen.
A Christian writer once wrote, he says, "Many Christians want to receive first and see results and then believe later." And believe later. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus all the time.
Amen.
See, my question this morning to you is your faith based on getting the results first? Or exercising faith first to get the results? Which way is it? The world's got things backwards.
Yeah.
You know, Jacob had this issue. Somebody at the door. Okay? Jacob had this issue. In Genesis 28, he's getting ready to come home. And Esau is after him. And he's scared to death. And Laban has done some things. And he's worried about it. And aren't we like that? Said, if you... We pray this prayer, "If you do this for me, then I will believe in you. If you do this, I will follow you. I won't do anything wrong again. And you just come through for this one time." That's not faith. That's not faith. Verses 20 and 21, Genesis 28 says, Jacob vowed a vow. Say, "If God will be with me and will keep me in a way in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I will come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." No, because you are my God.
Amen.
You will give me peace. You will bring me home.
Amen.
You will provide for me.
Amen.
And I'll trust in you.
Amen.
And it's not conditional.
That's right.
It's not conditional. We need to bow to keep the vision of faith. We need to believe to keep the vision of faith. Thirdly, we need to battle to keep the vision of faith. We need to keep faith and keep your eyes on Jesus while we battle. We need to keep fighting and keep your eyes on Jesus when we battle. You know, when we have faith, we have purpose. We have vision. You can see where the enemy's coming from. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." The issue is, I have a goal in mind.
Amen.
My goal is Christ.
Amen.
My goal is because of salvation. My goal is heaven. My goal is holiness. It says, "So fight I, not at one that beateth the air." I know a lot of people that are all thrust and no rudder. They're like a balloon that you let go and all over the place. That should not be the way with a Christian life.
Amen.
We should be focused. I press toward the mark, the pride of high calling.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. I run a race. And you don't run a race looking over your shoulder.
Amen.
You look over your shoulder, you probably will lose. So we need to not beat the air. We need to have purpose. We need to battle because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But we rage a spiritual warfare. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, pulling down the strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself against Christ, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, we need to battle to keep the vision of faith. And then we need to build to keep the vision of our faith. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and never be satisfied and keep on building. We need to keep our building our faith in ourselves. We need to keep on building our faith in our families. We need to keep on building our faith in our churches. We need to keep on building our faith in our country, which is going the other way. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, it says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord." It grows! It's not finished. It won't be finished until we all get to glory. "In whom ye also are builted together." That's us individually and us collectively. "For a habitation of God through the Spirit." You know, we are building a church. We are building the body of Christ. We are His ministers to do His will. We need to have a vision of faith and build. Look to Jesus and ask people to come to church. Paul says, "I beseech you, will you follow Him?" You know, if you don't ask people to come to church, where's your faith? You just don't want to invite them. And then once you invite them, bring them to church. See, we fall way short on this. We fall way short on this. Do we have a vision of a lost world? If you have a vision of a lost world, then you have the love of Christ. And you have the compassion of Christ. And you want everyone, like Paul said, "I don't want anything to know about me except Christ and Him crucified." We need to recognize the vision of faith. Then we need to radiate the virtues of faith. Romans 15, verse 13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that He may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." By the power of the Holy Ghost, we need to radiate or show the virtues of our faith by sharing your faith.
Amen.
Sharing it. "So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven."
Amen.
Always be ready to give an answer of the hope that is in you. Looking unto Jesus. And that blessed hope. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason that is in you with meekness and in fear." Well, in order to give that answer, you need to know Christ. And in order to give that answer, you need to know His Word. You can't know Christ unless you have a relationship with Him and received Him as your Savior. And if you have a relationship with Him, you'll understand the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will help you. But you've got to pick it up and you've got to practice reading. You've got to practice praying. You've got to do that. We need to show our faith. Radiate the virtues of faith by showing your faith. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." We need to show our faith to those who have lost loved ones and love them and lift them up. We've had a lot of family losses this year. We need to be encouraging to them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Now we exhort you, brother, warn them that are unruly." Don't let something pass by when you have the opportunity to do something about it. If that happens, nothing gets done. We need to intervene. Warn them that are, comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. No, visit the sick. Visit the sad. Visit the shut-ins. And stay away from the world. Whoever's a friend of the world is the enemy, of God. So we need to share faith. We need to show your faith. Do you recognize the value of salvation? Do you see the vision of faith? Do you radiate the virtues of faith? And lastly, do you rejoice in the victory of faith? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, in the last part of that verse, it says, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Last week we shared out of Romans chapter 8 that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Rejoicing is commanded. We need to praise the Savior and proclaim the success. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise." By who? By Christ. By faith in Him. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise. He gives us the ability to praise Him. He gives us the ability to glorify Him. He gives us the ability to work for Him. He gives us the ability to see Him. To God what? Continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Oh, rejoicing is commanded. And it's more than a praise and worship song. It's a way of life. It's all of our conversation. Rejoice in the victory of faith. We need to rejoice because it's commanded. And then rejoicing is contagious. You know, we'll pass along a joke. We'll pass along a story. We'll pass a virus along. But do we pass along salvation? Do we pass along our testimony? When the blind man got healed, he got up and he was rejoicing. And then all the people around him rejoiced. When the lame man that Peter and John healed, going into the, he goes, he's leaping up in the temple. The very first place he goes in the house of God. He's jumping up and down. And all the people praising God. Because rejoicing is contagious. It's infectious. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 6, it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." How you live for God affects people.
Amen.
If you don't live, you won't have any effect.
Amen.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were what? Light. They saw the same God. They saw the same hope. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles.
Amen.
Oh, this morning, where is your faith today? Where is your faith today? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Do you have a faith that pleases God? Or do you have your own idea of faith? Do you have a perfect faith? A faith that has all of your heart, and all your soul, trusting in God. Do you have a personal faith, or are you relying on the faith of others? It's got to be you. Are you reaching for the prizes of faith this morning? Do you want that freedom that only God can give? Do you want that assurance that only God can give? Do you want to get involved with the grace that only God can give? Do you want to understand victory in life that only God can give? Do you want the gift of heaven that only God can give? Do you have a practicing faith this morning? If you don't know Him as your Savior, today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Receive Him as your Savior. Go on the wrong way, wrong path. Today, if you hear His voice, don't turn your back on Him. Learn to practice faith. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time, Lord, and just ask You this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. Father, someone here does not know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, that they will realize that You so loved the world that You gave Your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Father, help them receive that gift and that love today. Lord, for us, help us to love You with a pure heart, with an unfeigned faith, with a practicing faith. We ask that Your Holy Spirit have full reign. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.